Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. I've been teaching for several weeks on the principles of child rearing. Last Sunday was the second part of a three-part series on teaching your child to resist temptation. Today, we'll finish the series by giving you 8 suggestions on how to resist temptation. Now, let's review. The classic text for resisting temptation is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I drew these conclusions from this verse. Number 1, temptations are common to all men. Number 2, God is faithful to Christians during times of temptation. Number 3, He limits the strength of the temptation. Number 4, He provides a way to escape. Number 5, there's no reason to yield to temptation. In context, Paul warned the Corinthians not to yield to the same sins that Israel did in the wilderness, and those were idolatry, fornication, murmuring, and unbelief. I began to give you 10 reasons why we should resist temptation. I'd given you 5 of those reasons when I ran out of time. Let me review the 5, and then I'll give you the remaining 5. Reason number 1, actions lead to habits. The scriptural principle is that I'm not to be brought under the power or influence of anyone or anything but the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Habits control and dominate life, and only the Spirit of God should control and dominate the believer. Reason number 2, small sins lead to big ones. Cain, Samson, Saul, and a host of other biblical figures eventually became dominated and then ruined by major sin. In each case, their demise began with little sins. Small sins lead to bigger ones. Reason number 3, sin defiles and weakens the conscience. When the conscience is defiled and weakened, it isn't reliable to guide us through future temptation. We need a good, clear conscience if we're to recognize and resist future temptations of life. Reason number 4, sin causes lost confidence in prayer. Scripture teaches that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 66:18. When a Christian has known an unconfessed sin in his life, he has an inward sense that he's not on praying ground. God can't bless his disobedience. Reason number 5, sin causes lost power with God. Lot, Samson, Saul, and David are all examples of men who lost power with God and influence with men because of sin. Lost power is a sure result of sin. Now let's look at the last 5 reasons why we should resist temptation. Here's reason number 6. The earthly consequences of sin are irreversible. Can a sinning brother be forgiven? Yes. Will his life ever be the same? No. Lot sinned in his compromise with Sodom. Peter tells us in the New Testament that Lot was a just man, that he had a righteous soul, and that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Yet, Lot lost his wife and his entire family to Sodom, with the exception of his 2 perverted daughters. Those 2 daughters lured their father into the sin of incest. The result was 2 little boys who didn't know whether to call Lot daddy or grandpa. Was Lot sorry? Yes. Could he find forgiveness? Yes. Would his life ever be the same? Never in a million years. Listen, we need to teach our children to resist temptation because the consequences of sin are too great. Sin can be forgiven, but life will never be the same. Here's reason number 7. Unconfessed sin will bring chastisement upon the believer. Listen to Hebrews 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." That passage goes on to say that if you sin and do not receive chastisement of the Lord, you're illegitimate and not really a son. Scripture's plain. If you sin, persist in the sin, intentionally continue in sin, you will receive chastisement. The writer of Hebrews continues, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." God doesn't do it to be mean, but to correct us for future living. In the end, we're better for it. But you should know that chastisement is painful and shouldn't be necessary if we learn to resist temptation in the first place. Here's reason number 8. Sin in the life of a Christian weakens your testimony. Lot destroyed his testimony with his sons-in-law because of his compromising ways. Nathan told David that his sin with Bathsheba had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, 2 Samuel 12. Noah lost the respect of at least one of his sons because of his drunken spree. And Samuel lost some respect with the people of Israel because of his failure to bring up his sons in the ways of the Lord. Paul taught the Corinthians in chapter 12 that because they had failed to judge themselves, the Lord had to chasten them. And the Lord chastened them so they would not be condemned by the world. Listen, the world hates. The world mocks a Christian who doesn't live up to the standards of the faith that he claims. Sin is a sure way to lose your testimony. Here's reason number 9. Sin in the believer causes the name of Christ to be blasphemed. Paul told Jewish Christians that their disobedience caused God's name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles, Romans 2:24. Paul told Timothy to admonish slaves to count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. He also told Titus to admonish aged women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed, Titus 2:5. All these admonitions are as practical today as they were then. Sin causes the name of Christ to be blasphemed. Here's reason number 10. We all have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I really don't have to comment here. We should resist temptation because one day we'll have to give an account of ourselves at the judgment seat. All these are reasons why we should resist temptation. Now briefly, let me give you 8 suggestions on how we might gain the strength to resist sin. Number 1, be filled with the Word. Jesus exemplified this in Matthew 4 during his temptation in the wilderness. 3 times Satan tempted him. 3 times Jesus answered him by quoting Scripture. There is power in the Word to resist temptation. And if it worked for Jesus, it'll work for you too. Suggestion number 2, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a sermon in itself that I'll develop on another occasion, but it would include such principles as humbling yourself, submitting yourself to God, resisting the devil, putting on the armor of God, drawing nigh to God, cleansing your hands, purifying your hearts, mourning over your past failures, and most of all, gazing upon Jesus daily in the Word so that the Spirit of God might change us into His image. Here's suggestion number 3, order your priorities. Knowing the Word of God and walking in the Spirit take time. You will not have time if you don't make time. You must order your priorities so that you can take time to be holy, as the old hymn says. Remember Matthew 6 and verse 33, where Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Put first things first if you want to be strong enough to resist temptation. Suggestion number 4, obey your spiritual leaders. Listen to Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Children need to know who authorized spiritual leaders are. They would include dad and mom, of course, but pastor, teachers, youth leaders, etc. Obedience to those who are over them in the Lord will help them to resist temptation. Suggestion number 5, choose the right companions. In Proverbs 1 and verse 10, Solomon warns, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In Romans 16, Paul warns, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and get this, avoid them. The influence of friends is often the cause of major temptation. And if you want to resist temptation, then you need to be careful in the choice of friends because they will influence you." Suggestion number 6, avoid circumstances that corrupt. Abraham should stay away from Egypt if he wants not to lie about his wife. Lot should stay away from Sodom if he wants not to lose his family to the world. If you don't want to be tempted to gamble, then don't go to the riverboat. If you don't want to be tempted to drink alcohol, then don't go to the tavern. If you don't want to commit immorality, then stay away from the novels, the magazines, and the movies that promote it. Avoid the parties and the strip clubs that entice the flesh. Listen, if you don't want to get wet, then stay out of the pool. It's really pretty simple. Number 7, fulfill the Great Commission. Here's the principle. The best defense is a good offense. When you go on the offensive, you don't have to play as much defense. That makes sense to all you sports guys, right? Well, for the Christian, preaching the gospel is our offensive. And when we are on the offensive, we're less likely to be tempted with a whole variety of sins. Witnessing or soul winning is good therapy for resisting temptation. And finally, suggestion number 8, glorify the Lord. This is something that every believer is implored to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but listen to this, all things edify not." Then he goes on to say, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth or good." In other words, you glorify God when you think of somebody besides yourself. Then Paul closes the chapter with these words, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Often, we think that we've got to read the Bible, pray, go to church, witness, or give money to missions in order to glorify the Lord. This passage teaches that we should glorify God in everything we do, even in eating and drinking. When we keep the glory of God first and foremost in our thinking, resisting temptation is not nearly as hard. Well, that draws us to a conclusion in our series on resisting temptation. There are 10 reasons why we should teach our children to resist temptation, and I've given you 8 suggestions on how to resist it. But remember, God is only faithful to help those resist temptation who have been truly born again, those who are truly His children. If you haven't been saved, that's the place to start. And if your child isn't saved, begin by teaching him the way to God, which is through Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross. And I want to say, if we can be a help to you in this, please call our church office today. We'll be glad to help. God bless you and have a really good Lord's Day.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Dietrich from First Baptist Church in Wayland, Missouri. Friend, this broadcast is a ministry of our church, and we're trying to discern God's direction for the next year in our ministry, and that includes the question of whether we're being good stewards of time spent in preparation, preaching, and production. But in radio ministry, the only way we can gauge the value of this broadcast is if you respond. So if you've been listening and you've been helped by something you've heard, would you drop us a quick note? You can reach us one of 3 different ways. You can email us at info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note through snail mail to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. Let me repeat that one more time for you. You can email to info@fbcwayland.org or call us at area code 660-754-6312 or send a note to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472. And let me remind you that it's not quite 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get ready and get to church this morning. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to visit us this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website at www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.